Hello, boys and girls. Welcome in to the Boys and Girl Podcast with Cowboys NFL Network reporter Jane Slater and NFL Network producer Bobby Belt. A Cowboys community with the inside scoop on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, coming straight to you from the Lone Star State, here's Jane and Bobby.
Jay Glazer here with the NFL on Fox. A little break of news here. Dallas Cowboys have moved on from Jason Garrett as their head coach.
The Dallas Cowboys have themselves a new head coach. His name is Mike McCarthy, former head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
I do want to introduce you to the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy.
I am anxious and excited to get to work on winning the next Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, full disclosure, Bobby. Last week, we did not bring our fans the pod. I was exhausted. I was tired. I had more questions than answers. I had literally worked every single source. I squeezed sources. I tried to find unconventional ways of proving rumors and thoughts and things that were swirling. But we have some closure today.
We do, finally. Yeah, last week, if we would have done one last week, it would have been pretty much just the conspiracy hour, because there was like nothing concrete. And here's the funny thing. If we would have recorded that conspiracy hour last week, absolutely none of it would have been accurate as to what happened, because it really went down a road that I don't think many people anticipated.
Now, look, I had a few details that we were able to come together. Here's what we do know mm-hmm. now that we've had the presser here at the Star in Frisco. And I should point out that we had to do this in two parts. This is how crazy it's been around here. We are going to have the amazing Andrew Brandt, who gave Mike McCarthy one of his first head coaching jobs mm-hmm. with the Green Bay Packers.
His very first head coaching job, yep.
Which, by the way, they also interviewed Sean Payton at the time.
Yeah.
So, interesting parallel there. We also have the outstanding Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who, like me, was literally chasing every squirrel through this. So, it's great stuff, but we were not allowed in this building.
At the time we recorded him.
Yep. We recorded it, and I've got a Michael Irvin event later. Humble brag real quick. So I've got to rush out of here. So we wanted to do this in two parts, but we had so much information. We wanted to get it to you guys. So you're going to hear windy elements making you feel like you are actually in Green Bay in the second part of this. And the reason why this is so clear in the beginning is because this is instant reaction after the presser. Okay. So we still have, I feel like we have some answers, but I still got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But what we also got was a charismatic, a reflective, a funny, an insightful head coach, very different than what we were used to Jason Garrett in Dallas.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if that's just, the honeymoon phase, and he'll probably stand up there next year during the season and brush us off and be a little gruff, like I think has kind of been his reputation. But I think it was a happy day for everybody. As much as I think the Cowboys struggled with, are we going to move on? Are we going to make this decision? As much as it was tough for them to walk away from Jason Garrett, as Jerry Jones said out there today, in the 30 years I've been here, only two of those years have I not written a check to a Garrett, between his dad and his...
Kind of hit me in different ways, yeah, the way he said that.
Yeah, it was a little confusing at first, and then I got it as he continued to talk. I was like, oh, okay, I get what he means. But as much as we thought it was going to be difficult for them to walk away, everybody up there today, Steve and Jerry, and obviously Mike McCarthy, everybody seemed pretty much at peace with the move, and I don't think there's any bad feelings. I think they feel okay about the move.
Not only does Mike McCarthy look like he could be a Jones brother from Arkansas, mm-hmm. which was very odd to me, his humor and his ability to just sort of talk off the cuff,
his charisma
felt very in line with them. And then here's what we learned and what we didn't fully know. There was first reported that he had stayed at the Joneses' house. Instead, we found out that he spent 2 days here in the DFW area, but he actually stayed at the hotel here at the Omni.
Mm-hmm.
But he might as well stay there, because they said the meeting started at 1 p.m. and lasted until 1 a.m. And if you've ever been to the Combine or you've ever been to the Super Bowl, the Jones family, even Jerry at 77, man, they love a good time. I enjoy my time around them when they're having a good time. Our Nobu parties, the media party in Malibu, is a good time. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I wish that I'd had a ticket to that. But listen to this story about, there were two things that were revealed. One, here's the story where Jerry says Jerry Jr., of all people, was the one that told him, get the ball rolling.
Jerry came up to me while we were in the middle of the night, and he slides down to the edge at the end of the table. Mike was sitting here, and Jerry reached over and he said, what are you waiting on? And he said, you need to know this. I know we haven't had a meeting or anything, but Stephen said, Stephen is ready to roll here. And said, you need to know that because we hadn't been able to get a talk. And I said, well, I just hated it that it looked like appear what it appears. And he said, when have you ever worried about how it looked? And we winked at Stephen, and he got up, and we came in. Next thing I know, he was wearing it out with Tracy in the other room working on it, boy.
And then this admission from Mike McCarthy, who, by the way, had talked to some other teams, what seemed like the singular moment that he had decided that Dallas was his destiny.
But I do need to tell a story about Saturday night when I was here on the interview. And here I am sitting across the table, Stephen, Jerry Jones, Jerry Jr., you know, Will McClay, Todd Williams, and Jerry's telling a story about the purchase of the Dallas Cowboys. And at the end of the story, he leans over to me and he grabs me by the forearm and reaches out to shake my hand. He says, and you need to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So I jumped up and hugged him, but and I'll stop right there. We had a hell of a time. Just say that. But no, that's a moment. That's a moment, and that's a story I'll be telling the rest of my life. So I can't just tell you how thrilled my family are and I are here, thrilled to be here.
Okay, so I'm loving all of this, right? But this is where it gets even better. Now, they kind of alluded to it at the press conference because I asked Mike McCarthy, when did you first make contact with the Cowboys? Because it's my theory, and you'll hear from Charles Robinson a little bit, that he was not the front runner. Mm-hmm. That this was not the guy that they had done extensive research on. I keep going back to Tom Pelissero to serve part of this man's contract because he made Mike McCarthy all of a sudden sexy. Mm-hmm. He's like the guy that took the guy that was another man's trash, and he was like, you know what? We're going to take you to makeover boot camp, and I'm going to make you look sexy again to other GMs. But what made him sexy in my mind to Jerry Jones was the man that reflects in the mirror, the man that wants a second chance. Here's two sound bites from Mike McCarthy today and then Mike McCarthy in that NFL piece that I said, oh my gosh, the candidate has been sitting right underneath our nose. Listen in.
You know, this past year has been a year of reflection. My wife said I won't make it through 10 words. I think I got to about six. But reflection of just what a blessed man I am. Great moments that I've been a part of. You know, I'm married to the love of my life. My wife is the love of my life. You know, we have beautiful children, come from a blessed family, you know, and professionally was able to lift the Lombardi Trophy.
Why do you need to do this? Why do you need to go move the family out of Green Bay?
You know, it's interesting. It's a very selfish profession, coaching in the NFL. I think that's a given. But what I found through this transition is what I found is our family needs us, you know. I don't know why this question. Sorry. We need to do this. So this is something that I feel like just because everything has happened. And this will be a great opportunity for us.
When he says we needed football, Bobby, there were tears in his eyes. Who doesn't love sending a message to you with tears in his eyes more than our guy, Jerry Jones?
Oh, yeah. That tears will resonate with Jerry more than anything else. I think that's why he tries to use them on the media scrum sometimes.
Well, listen, I am not saying they're not authentic. Here's what I love about Jerry. He believes it. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Jerry, if you're on Team Jerry, Jerry will fight for you tooth and nail. Ask Michael Irvin.
Ask Jason Garrett.
So I loved all of this, right? But this is where the presser just took a real interesting turn to me. Jason Garrett, what went down with all this? Jerry wasn't completely explicit about it. So I caught up with Stephen Jones after it all, and I asked him about as explicitly as possible, as plainly as I needed answers. You know, when you've been chasing the squirrel so long, I need answers, Stephen. What happened with Jason? Why did he keep coming up to the Star in Frisco every single day? Why was it leaked that he was desperately clinging to his job? Here's what Stephen said.
Stephen, get a little bit of clarity. Why two meetings with Jason Garrett and allowing him to continue the exit interviews? Did you have another coach in mind? When did you make contact with Mike Moore? I'm just looking for some clarity in the timeline.
There's really no clarity for Jason. We had communication with Jason every step of the way, and we wanted to be very respectful, and you know, pretty much all of our action was in line with what Jason wanted, and we had nothing but the utmost respect for him, and we used his timeline, and he understood that we were having to do our job too, and you know, he knew exactly what we were doing.
Was there ever a possibility that he could stay here? In other words, you guys said, let's go through the exhaustive search, and
he knew we were moving down the road with other coaches.
So it reads like a telenovela. I got to tell you, I love all of it because I, as a reporter, you love putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And I am exhausted because I literally tried to flip over every rock. And we'll talk about coaching and staff and everything that we've run down in our next one because, like I said, this one's jam-packed. But Bobby, I also got to tell you, we wanted pop culture references. And man, Mike, you won me over right out of the gate. Can anyone tell me what this sounds like?
Well, first of all, thank you. It is great to be here. And I'm having a moment here because I don't know where the hell to put my hands. I never sat at a table for a press conference, so excuse me.
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Be good just to hold them down by your side. Yeah, great.
It's so beautiful.
It's so Will Ferrell.
It's so beautiful.
It's so Ricky Bobby.
It's so beautiful. And then, like I said, the Jason Garrett stuff, it feels like, hey, 80s fans, pop culture reference, remember Ducky?
When we were talking about interviewing Coach McCarthy, Jason was talking about what a great guy he is and how his story and how much we were going to enjoy just that part of it in visiting with him.
If you don't go to him now, I'm never going to take you to another prom ever again. You hear me? I mean, this is an incredibly romantic moment, and you're ruining it for me.
All right, so in conclusion, of course, we're going to bring in, like I said, Charles Robinson and Andrew Brandt. I got to tell you, Jerry said something in the presser. He said, this is lightning in a bottle. It's fortuitous. You know, as he was reminding the press conference, there has never been a head coach to win a Super Bowl with not one, but two teams. But Jerry just feels it. I drink the Kool-Aid from time to time. I do. I even drank the Kool-Aid, and Jerry's just so...
You were drinking the Kool-Aid a month and a half ago and going, maybe Jason can do this.
Prepare for the possibility. My new prepare for the possibility. Uh-huh. Prepare for the possibility that this guy that wasn't at the top of their list might take him to the top of the mountain again.
Oh, goodness. I don't know that I can trust that, but it was good to see, an encouraging sign. A guy who is a free agent, Randall Cobb, who spent so much time with Mike McCarthy. He was out there today being supportive. Yeah, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, a few other guys were out there. So there's excitement around here. They all seem pretty happy, I think, especially on, you know, the front office level. I think Jerry and Steven seem really excited. The players seem excited. And, I mean, Mike McCarthy genuinely does seem like he couldn't be happier to be back around the game of football.
If I had to assess how that press conference went, Jerry and Steven couldn't have gotten a better presser from a coach. Everyone loved what Matt Rhule had to say.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I thought Mike McCarthy hit this one out of the park.
I do too. I think he did really, really well today. And look, I mean, we'll have time, like you said, to talk about some of the stuff that's changing with the assistant coaches. I mean, they didn't want to talk about scheme at all today. Mike mm-hmm. McCarthy got asked a few questions about it and said, this isn't the place where I'm going to answer these things. We've got reviews to do, interviews to do. Said he hasn't yet spoken to the assistant coaches because he said we'll start interviewing them.
Thought was fascinating because quick update, Sanjay Law expected out,
mm-hmm.
wide receivers coach. Gary Brown, the running backs coach, has had no contact with them, although I did report on NFL Network on Monday that they reached out to a running backs coach candidate. I know that candidate is also in play for at least another NFL job. So we'll see if that happens or if they decide to fall back on Gary. I can tell you his players want him back.
Yeah.
Zeke, one of the most important players wants him back. Offensive line coach Mark Colombo actually had to set up his own meeting with the Joneses, mm-hmm. even though he had 2 years on his contract. He walked out of there not feeling confident about his future here. Instead, I'm told that Joe Philbin is the guy that they're eyeing for offensive line, but also as the run coordinator.
Joe Philbin was the guy who, when Mike McCarthy was fired, took over as interim head coach in Green Bay.
Fascinating. But also, I was told possible assistant head coach. So that's something for us to keep an eye on in the weeks and days to come. Mike Nolan, defensive coordinator, is who we're hearing. And then at secondary, keep an eye on one I think I'm going to rule out, but I think Tony Oden is another one on the radar to keep an eye on. And then who else?
Joe Witt Jr.
I don't think he's going to end up ultimately coming to Dallas, but I think we should keep an eye on Tony Oden. And then it sounds like he likes Kellen Moore.
Yes. Yeah, he spoke really positively about what he saw on film when mm-hmm. he was studying the Cowboys and was really impressed with Kellen.
Which, by the way, we've got to drop this for the fans too. I keep lying. There's just so much that I want to drop in here. Can we talk about what made him so relatable to me? How many of you have oversold your qualifications in an interview?
Most everyone, I think.
Okay. Well, here's our boy Mike McCarthy. Just, oh my God, for the win.
You said you analyzed every play or watched every play of the entire 2019 season. What is it that you learned from that experience that you think will benefit you most here?
Well, I mean, I need to confess. I mean, I told Jerry I watched every play of the 2019 season, but I wanted the job. So I haven't watched every play of the season, but it was just, I mean, you do what you got to do, right?
So we didn't watch a lot of tape. But again, if you go back to my boy Tom Pelissero, we need to get him on the podcast to talk about everything. He at least watched a bunch of Dallas and Dak Prescott on this offense. He said that this offense is going to be built around the quarterback to make them successful, that the run game is going to be important, that Zeke is going to get the ball, but as you said, would not clarify whether it's going to be a 4-3 or 3-4 defense.
Yeah, I happen to say the best way to make a quarterback as successful is with a great running game, which kind of runs counter to analytics, which again, we're not going to dive into how good the hire is. We can do that on the next one.
There's so much we want to talk about.
There is a lot. But overall, generally, I think from just an entertainment standpoint, it was a pretty great press conference.
All right, joining us now on the podcast is Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. And you've also got a pod, Charles. Go ahead and drop it for the fans that just can't get enough of sports talk.
Yeah, we did. We actually did a long walkthrough today for our podcast on Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. So it's the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast with myself and Therese Taylor. We welcome any new Dallas Cowboys subscribers, obviously doing our best to build the audience there. And if they could tip in and take a listen this week, that'd be great.
You become such a good follow. I know a lot of Cowboy fans have you know, clung to some of your articles and some of the legwork you've done. I certainly know you did a lot of it, as did all of us, trying to get to the bottom of why Jason Garrett was still in this building, why we hadn't heard of a coaching leak. So let's just go ahead and walk through the last week. You've been a reporter for a while. How curious was this whole saga?
It was bizarre to the point of, you know, there was a point where I sat there and I thought, okay, you know, I've been doing this really for 20 years. If I go back to, you know, the first team I ever covered out of college was the Detroit Lions. And I took about 5 years off to do investigative, but I thought, okay, the 15 years that I've really kind of hovered around a lot of the NFL, do I ever remember, you know, a search process like this where there was an ambiguity as long as there was? It was a guy like Jason who clearly wanted to remain. And then a search process that started with two candidates that even I initially thought, okay, this is a sham. They're just getting their sea legs right now. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And I would ask you, is it not clear now? Like, this is my... I feel like I have it dialed in. I'm curious what you think of it. Is it not clear that they backburnered Jason as a sort of a break the glass option and that Jason like allowed it basically?
1,000%, Charles. I mean, you and I, you know, I followed you on Twitter and I read your columns and, you know, I talked to other reporters, obviously just here in the local market, and we were all, I can't even explain how many rocks that I turned over trying to find clues. I mean, to your point, I was also an investigative reporter and a news reporter, and I put all of those skills to use on this one. And as crazy as it sounds, I truly believe that they left the door, not they, not Steven, Jerry, left the door open for the possibility of Jason being in this building, or if he was going to do right by him, be kind, show an abundance of respect, they would have just said goodbye to him on Monday following his meeting with the players and the exit interviews. But to drag it out on Tuesday, and the fact that this third meeting was leaked, which was crazy to me, and I had said, I can't confirm this third meeting. We had reported and knew that they were in Aspen. And then all of a sudden, you've got these curious interviews, by the way, with a guy like Marvin Lewis and Mike McCarthy over the weekend. And I just felt like Mike McCarthy was never a front runner. They had not done their due diligence on him.
Right.
They had perhaps seen the Tom Pelissero report and thought, wow, that's interesting. Let's bring him in here and talk to him. And I think, I said this on Peter King's podcast, and I talked to Jim Rome this week, I think Jerry is such a guy that's about redemption, looking in the mirror, second chances, innovation, right, being an old dog that can learn new tricks. And I think Mike McCarthy had every single buzzword at the right time. And that was what took Jerry Jones over the edge. And so Steven brought him to the table, in my opinion. It was the buzzwords, the timing, the things that really make Jerry Jones go that put this one over the edge. And when they realized, look, we found our guy. If we've got a guy like this out there available that's won a Super Bowl, how can we possibly continue the insanity that has been Jason Garrett?
Right. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And the funny thing about this is you can't really claim Mike McCarthy. Like, it'll be, if this is really successful, I'm excited to see how the look back goes, because if this becomes, well, we always liked Mike. We always thought the world of Mike, and he was really at the top of our list. Well, if he's at the top of your list, why'd you let him go interview a couple other teams?
100%.
Yeah, you don't do that. Like, if he's your guy, you just do not let him do that. And I think, as I said, the process was just so weird. You talk about turning over all the rocks, and I think I was with you. You know, we're all following each other, and we're all kind of paying attention to what everyone else is doing. And I'm sure, you know, we're overlapping each other and calling sources, all these things. And it wasn't until late in the week where I realized, like, hey, there's actually a reason they're not reaching out to these college coaches. There's a reason. Part of it, I think, was there is no candidate list. You know, and I think that was unmasked a little bit by Mike and Marvin being the first two people in the door. But then, once Mike and Marvin went through the process, two things clarified for me. Number one, late in the week, Matt Rhule was kind of dialing in his process. And what was interesting was he liked the Cowboys roster quite a bit. You know, he really liked the Giants situation. He liked the Carolina situation, knew those were there for him. But there was like this lingering question in the back of his mind. Like, I really like Dallas's roster, and yet I don't seem to be like even a thought process in Dallas right now. And I think that confused him a little bit, which I thought was really interesting. And then once Mike and Marvin had gone through the process and I had a chance to talk to some people, right in the middle of the weekend, it became clear to me, because people were telling me, Jerry wants someone experienced. Well, he doesn't want to mess around with the transition or this or that. And, you know, so I think that probably helped Mike. But as you said, Mike spent a year preparing for this moment, to walk into a room with a coaching book. And from what I understand, he was very open and honest about, you know, what he sort of felt went wrong in Green Bay, or why it didn't sort of work at the end there. And I'm sure that held a lot of sway, you know, with Jerry. Like you said, the redemption process, the ability to eat a mistake and go, oh, no, but I learned from it. You know, Jerry's big on learning, and then also showing, here's the way I'm going to dial myself back in for success. You got to talk, though, about the craziness of the process. I don't want to move past that without the 7 minutes of Nick Saban in the middle. Like, you got to talk about the 7 minutes of Nick Saban, right? So, I mean, we're going to talk about that.
I know you ran it down. I had gotten a tip. If people knew the things that I ran down, I had gotten a tip on, I believe it was Thursday night, that the Cowboys were high on Nick Saban. And I said, oh my gosh. Now this makes sense. Jerry wouldn't be lying to us. Here's a guy that's had NFL head coaching experience. Here's a guy that's coaching, but this wouldn't make sense. He just signed another ridiculous extension. The buyout would be absurd. You and I had heard about the possibility of them not being afraid of spending money and buyouts to get certain coaches that they were interested in. So, of course, I reach out to his agent and people close to him, and they literally laughed my head off when I brought it up. But this is the sort of stuff that was going on. And I truly believe the Urban stuff, while that meeting 100% happened between Steven and Urban, I believe Urban was just out there creating the spin zone.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I mean, and the Lincoln Riley thing, I could never get anyone to tell me that that was legit at all. So I never, ever, ever thought that Lincoln was anything. But the Matt Rhule thing I thought was intriguing. I thought Matt Rhule was intriguing because of what he did at Baylor, the way he was able to turn things around. I couldn't get Matt Rhule and his people to call me back, though. And so that was also where I couldn't mark him off my list. Dan Mullen never got back to me. So that was a guy I couldn't mark off my list. But, I mean, we chased down everything. And
yeah.
And as you know, people talk. I mean, agencies talk, agents talk, friends of players. I remember when we were here covering the Rangers, a little girl told her school teacher that her dad was getting ready to go be a Cleveland Indian. And that's how we found out he was no longer going to be. I mean, people talk. No one talked about any of this.
Yeah, this was the rare, like, but that's the funny thing is when you got to the Marvin Mike part of it, that's when it sort of solidified that, no, you know, there really wasn't this list, this list that was vaulted away of 10 guys. Like, here's 10 guys we're going to go after. Like, you didn't, you know, that I thought that's what's going to happen. You know, it's going to be the normal process. They're going to let go of Jason the next day after the season ends. They'll let him go through his process for a day, and then they'll announce that they're moving on. It'll be cordial. Maybe there'll be a press conference. We'll see how it goes. But then I think Jason really, in those first two interviews, expressing to Jerry how much he wanted to remain, opened that door to, hey, you know what? Let's hang on and see. You know, like, hey, there's no reason to fire him or to, you know, remove him early if we've still got, you know, a little bit of runway in his contract. And let's see what other people, you know, what they impress upon us. And then, you know, if we really don't like it, if it's not working out, or there's just, you know, who knows what you can come across with some of the candidates that they might have stacked up, you can always turn back into Jason. And yeah, it was wild. I mean, the Nick Saban thing was crazy right in the middle of it. I mean, there were so many, you know, different names. As you said, I mean, you ran everybody down. I'm running everybody down trying to figure. I'm literally, it's funny you brought up Dan Mullen because I made my best effort to get to Dan Mullen. And then it was sort of the Matt Rhule thing where later in the week, it was like, had a chance to talk to somebody really close to Dan. And he was like, Dan keeps asking me, like, do you think I have a shot at the Cowboys? And I'm like, okay, we crossed Dan off. Like, I'm like, we're too far into this.
Well, it was just process of elimination. And so, you know, when you're doing the legwork and you're checking all these people off. And then I thought the other curious thing was that a lot of these coaches that are currently on staff, they weren't hearing anything. And by the way, at the time of the taping of this broadcast, they still haven't heard anything from Stephen Jones, Mike McCarthy, whatever. So, you know, we'll dive into that later in the week, and especially, you know, as we start hearing about who these coaches are that get announced. But the whole thing was just so curious to me, the way they went about it. And I'm going to be interested to see what they tell us about how long they knew Mike was their man, because I truly believe, to your point, you know, I had been told that Jason was showing up to work every day with this large binder under his arm. And while that binder could have been all of his exit interviews, my gut tells me Mr. Princeton was putting together a PowerPoint presentation about how he was going to turn things around like Mike McCarthy, but he was going to tell him how he was going to do it in a matter of a week. Mike had spent a year doing it.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I have no doubt that that was sort of Jason's coaching book that he would bring into an interview. You know, I'm sure Jason, being who he is, recreated, sort of sat there and thought, okay, well, look, I'll re-interview. That's fine. You know, I have a couple weeks left in on my contract. I can re-interview for the jobs when we put a coaching book together. You know, but Mike, I'll say this for Mike McCarthy. I know he had TV far more. I know he did a little bit of TV when he dipped out after the Packers, but he definitely had the opportunity to be quote unquote a TV guy for a year, for a season. And he really didn't step into that. And the fact that he bunkered down and said, okay, here are the knocks on me. Okay. I'm not an analytics driven guy. I'm not this, I'm not that. Let me see if I can, you know, step into that. And bunkering down for that season and spending that time really looking at different offenses and trying to reshape maybe a little bit of his thought process, and then thinking about the successes and failures in Green Bay and having a good grasp on that while at the same time building his pitch. I think that's what paid off. I really do. And even when you walk into a situation where I fully firmly believe this, and I think the staff, when it's laid out, will bear this out. I think when you walk into that room, and you're ready to have that conversation, if you know Jerry Jones is going to say, or Steven's going to say, you know, we want some offensive continuity here. We've got some guys here we like. What would you think about keeping some of these individuals? I think Mike was ready for even those questions. And sometimes I think that's where coaches hit a wall in interviews. They don't, like Matt Rhule goes to interview the Jets. I don't think he realized, yo, they're going to basically try to cram Adam Gase down my throat. And then when he went through that process, it really, really caused the cratering in that process. And so I think Mike had the opportunity to think about how would I react if maybe the Cowboys want to keep some people. I give it up to him. He did everything he could to land a job like this. And even though I wasn't big on how the process went, I really wanted the blowout. I wanted to see Jerry not take anyone off the table. I feel like they sort of ended up with someone where I'm like, okay, you know, let's see if the Mike McCarthy reclamation project that he has sold for more than a month now to the media, let's see if that's real, where it concerns some of the things that he'll do offensively. And that's really what matters going forward. But I definitely think they could have done worse. It was just process itself was completely bizarre, and it will be memorable, I think, for the rest of my career.
There were a few things that I'm going to let Bobby weigh in here before I let you go, Charles. But the one that, if people haven't seen, I can't talk enough about this. It was that sit down that Tom Pelissero did with them, and you saw the tears at the end and him talking about the family needed football. I just thought to myself, that is your sizzle reel for Jerry. Jerry needs football too. His family needs football. Jerry gets emotional about football and second chances. That was the highlight reel. Don't show me your postseason resume. Like, Jerry, the one thing that you can say about him, whether you love it or you don't, it's appealing to who he is as a human that he will tell you over and over has been flawed, that has been given second chances. People have counted him out, and the things that he's done to overcome that. And when I watch that piece, I'm like, our candidate has been literally under our nose the whole time. And as much as a lot of people think that this is a consolation prize, we'll talk to Andrew Brandt here coming up in just a little bit, but him talking about when you compare these two resumes and how both of these guys were up for consideration at the same time in Green Bay and they ultimately went with Mike, I think is fascinating. But I also think it's fascinating that this contract is 5 years, which also puts us right in line for us to start talking about Sean Payton here when his contract expires. And it all comes full circle, Charles.
Always. I'm sure. I look forward to 5 years of frenzied, oh my God, what are they doing? Is Sean available? Is he not? And by the way, Gene will tell you, Bobby will tell you, it won't be 5 years. Next year we'll hear about Sean, and the year after that we'll hear about Sean, and the year after that. Like, unless they win a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy pretty quickly, I feel like that's the annual rite of passage. You know the season is either ended or, you know, it's gone wrong at some point. You have the Sean Payton conversation. And by the way, I want to say the it's such a great point about the appeal to Jerry's heart. It really is, because I don't think there's one owner who I have ever spoken to in all the years. And I've only had a few like one-on-one situations with Jerry where I've seen a guy get tearful, like especially when he thinks about his beginnings and how much it in a way scared him, you know, the potential of failure with the Cowboys and how close he was. And, you know, he likes to tell those stories about, you know, turn the lights off in the facility because, you know, I'm literally almost going broke here. And, you know, he does. He gets to the point of tears. And I can see that. You appeal to that part of Jerry where there's a little bit of you know, not only the gambling mentality, but the desperation for success. He really buys into that. And, you know, I just think maybe that's what, at least me personally, maybe that's what I undersold in the process. Someone being able to get in front of Jerry and appeal in that manner really does matter. And hopefully for Jerry, this is the right decision and it goes the right way, because I just think, particularly with Matt Rhule and knowing that he kind of questioned, like, geez, why are the Cowboys not reaching out to me? If he has a lot of success in Carolina and things go really well and things with Mike don't, it's, you know, that's something that at least me personally, I'll be like, look, I'm going to revisit that. I'm going to go talk to Matt and ask him, like, why? Why do you think it happened the way that it happened, where you just didn't hear from them? That will be one guy that I think will be compared in this process down the line.
So we've talked about that, you know, the Cowboys maybe didn't have Mike McCarthy as the top option. We don't know how much we believe that was their number one guy from the outset. But when you talk about Mike McCarthy potentially appealing to Jerry's side, coming in there with all the right answers, do you think that Mike McCarthy's top job, as he was going through this whole process, he was looking towards Dallas is where I want to end up?
I'll just be real here, and I, you know, I'm sure Mike would protest this. I think Mike would have taken the first job offered to him, really. I really do. Like, I think that any of the jobs that Mike was going to interview for, if he had the opportunity, he would have taken it. And I do understand some of that, because Mike, you know, for whether it's right or wrong, I don't think that Mike was necessarily considered, quote unquote, the hot candidate or the guy with a lot of leverage, you know, going through the process. I think, you know, he could sit for an interview and do well, but ultimately, was he going to have, was it a Mike McCarthy buyer's market? You know, I don't think so. And, it was a buyer's market. It was a Mike McCarthy seller's market from his standpoint. So if someone said to Mike early, like, hey, would Dallas be, you know, near the top of your list? I think for a lot of coaches, Dallas would be near the top of the list, so long as you can deal with, you know, can you deal with an owner who's going to talk after every game and be on the radio and going to say things about, you know, your team? Can you weather that? As long as you could come to terms with that, and then also sort of how personnel works in Dallas, it was going to be near the top of your list. And when Urban Meyer came out and talked about how, you know, hey, it is a be all end all job, I think a lot of coaches do feel that way. So in a weird way, I think it worked out for Dallas, although I feel like they kind of tripped into it a little bit, but I think it really worked out for Mike as well. When I say that Mike would have taken the first job offered to him, it's going to sound harsh, but I'll liken it to, I remember when Andy Reid got fired from Philly, and he took the Kansas City job inside of a week. And I saw Andy this summer after that, and I asked Andy, I said, look, man, I know people were telling you, take a year off. You've had some family stuff. There's, you know, there's a lot here. Why not just take some time? And Andy was like, I want it back. Look, I'm not burned out. I'm ready to go. Like, people have this idea that, you know, I'm paraphrasing him here, but he kind of went through this thing where people have this idea that you get fired and you got to take time off and recover from it. He's like, I didn't feel that way. Like, I still want to coach football. I love it. And so I do think, when I say Mike would have taken the first job, as Jane talked about the tears in the NFL Network thing, I think that's because Mike wasn't burned out. I think Mike really wanted the opportunity to get right back into football and didn't feel wiped out. But you know, he did also get that year to sort of think about it, process it. I don't think Mike can say, hey, I knew this would be my job. And I don't think Jerry could ever look back and say Mike was our number one candidate, because I frankly don't even think until late in the process. That's when Mike and even Marvin popped up late in the process. I mean, you talk to people. I remember when Marvin, I talked to somebody close to Marvin Lewis, and I said, was this kind of in the works for a while? And he laughed and he goes, I don't know, for a while. Like, you, and Marvin had interviewed on a Friday. He goes, by a while, do you mean like Friday morning?
I'm dead like, wow, serious okay. on this. Yes. I think these ideas came to fruition in Aspen while they were sitting right around the table having drinks with the family. The family weighed in.
Isn't that a conference, the Aspen Ideas Institute? I think that is actually a thing.
It's actually going to be a write-off this year. It was business.
Listen, Listen, Jane is just trying to get an assignment in Aspen. Okay,
I didn't get Hawaii when they went there in the preseason. I didn't get Cabo when Zeke exiled himself there, and I didn't get Aspen. What I do get is a one-way ticket to Frisco, destination back to my home unknown. And yeah, we're doing this podcast outside because we're not allowed in the building. Before I let you go, I'd be remiss to say that I know a lot of people think us journalists have cold black hearts and we don't care about people, but can we talk about the tragedy that is Jason Garrett, a guy that we all thought would be considered for the head coaching job, only to learn that, no, that guy's Joe Judge. And hey, Jason, if you want to come here and call play something that was taken away from you in Dallas, something that people didn't think you could do, we'll bring you here for the OC gig. Your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, it was pretty wild that, you know, they put the request in and then pivoted to Judge pretty quickly. And I know there's kind of been some debate, you know, about it's interesting because the Giants are like, well, you know, we put in for head coaching. We put in for head coaching consideration with Jason. And I think part of the reason why they're saying that is because they want Joe to, at least they want it to look like, hey, Joe can name his own staff. Okay, so we're not even really pushing Jason on him. But look, the Giants, John Mara thinks a lot of Jason. And, you know, and I think he really would like to have Jason in the organization. And I personally have no doubt he would like to have Jason as the OC. I think he would like to pair him with Daniel Jones. It's a little bit of a bummer because, you know, me personally, particularly looking at the team and covering it from an analytical standpoint, Jason always frustrated me because I always saw a part of Jason when he would step off that podium, you know, and you talked to him on the side and there was just this part of him where I felt like I didn't always know how much he was projecting that outwardly to the fan base. I didn't know how much he would always project that to the players. Although I think there was a lot more of it projected toward the players. It's a bummer that it did not work out for him because he is a guy that cared about it. And there's a lot of craziness that happens late in a tenure. And it's funny because Mike McCarthy could talk about that. There was a lot of craziness that happened in Green Bay late in his tenure that ended up, you know, I don't want to say tainting, but it left a malaise on the Green Bay experience. And that's what Jason's going to have to deal with coming out of Dallas. But I'll also say this. This was Jason's first stop, you know, and I personally spent a lot of time talking about the second list coaches since they hired Mike McCarthy. Well, you know what? Jason's going to be on that list. He will. He's going to be a candidate for future head coaching jobs. And I will be very curious to see if Jason is one of these guys who has a second opportunity and ends up doing really well because he's had a chance to get into a new experience and sort of do the autopsy and what maybe he didn't do perfectly the first time around. So Dallas fans should get used to it now. He's not going away. He's going to be an NFL coach somewhere. It might be a coordinator first, but I would bet good money that Jason someday will be a head coach in the NFL again.
And Jason, if you're listening, I leave you with this. When ESPN decided not to re-up my contract as it was approaching expiration and they were making cuts at Longhorn Network, they asked me to go and do the SEC baseball tournament. I went there and I happened to be with Maria Taylor and Laura Rutledge, and they were talking about some of the power moves they were making, and Maria was a candidate for the NFL Network. She told me about the job. I asked her permission to have my agent call, and that has changed the trajectory of my life. So by Jason doing the right thing, showing up to work when a lot of us wouldn't otherwise do that, knowing that people were out on us, maybe something good happens for him. I certainly hope it. Throughout this process, I've enjoyed getting to know you, Charles, and thank you so much for basically doing our podcast today, 28 minutes with us here on the pod. Thank you so much. Great insight. And again, if you guys want to follow Charles Robinson, you can find him on Twitter. And of course, you've dropped some really great articles out there. Again, that's at Charles Robinson on Twitter.
Thanks, Charles.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I have a great relationship with you guys, but I'm not going to lie. Like, there are times where Jane is the bane of my existence. the whole Zeke contract. I'm like, God, Jesus. I'm like, who's talking to Jane? Like, whoever's talking to Jane. I'm like, tell me. I'm like, you're not talking to Jane, right? If you're talking to Jane, stop talking to Jane.
We're all here to celebrate each other's wins. I love the competition.
Awesome. Well, let's hope that this is the last time we got to go through one of these searches for a while.
My heart can't handle it. I need a vacation.
Well, joining us now is Andrew Brandt. There's really probably nobody more well-equipped to talk to us about Mike McCarthy and the hire the Cowboys have made than Andrew. Andrew was on staff with the Packers as vice president when the McCarthy hire was made. He spent 9 years with the Green Bay Packers. He is now executive vice president at the Morad Center at Villanova and executive vice president of Vayner Sports. He also writes columns for the MMQB, and you can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Brandt. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Always good to be with you guys, and it's just so funny hearing Mike McCarthy hired, because I hired Mike McCarthy, I can't hard to believe it's 14 years ago this week.
Time flies. But tell me, what drew you guys to Mike McCarthy when you made the hire in Green Bay, and do you think it was probably the same sort of things that drew the Cowboys to him here this time around?
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly. I think back then he was someone that was impressive in the interview in terms of no nonsense, straight shooter, kind of that Pittsburgh tough guy without letting you know he's a tough guy, if you know what I mean. Just very direct. There was never going to be any BS with Mike. And it was really run by our general manager at the time, Ted Thompson, and we had some great personnel guys who are all have been GMs since. John Schneider, who's now in Seattle. John Dorsey was running the Browns. Reggie McKenzie was running the Raiders. And myself, and there's just a nice chemistry that developed right away. And just quickly, the other finalist was Sean Payton, and it was really kind of a dead heat. But the one thing that pushed Mike over the edge with us is that he had been in Green Bay. He had spent 1 year on staff as a quarterback's coach, the 1 year that Ray Rhodes was head coach. And that familiarity that he knew Green Bay, he knew people there, he understood the Packers, which is a different place than anywhere else, they kind of pushed it over the top. So that's where we came to hire Mike back in 2006.
Tom Pelissero did an excellent piece with him this offseason, and I've joked that Mike McCarthy owes him about 10% of this contract for helping rebrand McCarthy and get him back out there on the open market. Have you watched it is my first question, and then my follow-up, if you have, what stood out about some of the moves he made in the off season, you know, the guy sort of looking in the mirror?
Yeah, I saw some of it, maybe not the whole clip, but some of it with Tom. And by the way, Tom was covering the Packers when I got out there for the local paper. Listen, Mike, I can speak to this on a personal level. It is very hard to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and not work for the Packers. And that's just a feeling. I parted ways with the Packers, and there were a few months before we moved out, and that's not easy because everything is Packers. I mean, you can't go out of your house without talking about the Packers. So I feel for Mike. You know, of course, his wife's from there. His little kid's there. He's got a great house there. I can see why he didn't move, but I know that's tough. You know, it's one thing to be removed from a job and go somewhere else and get ready for a next job. But to do it there with a new coach, with the team doing so well, with all the noise about him and Aaron and everything else, that's what I really felt for. And I think like a lot of coaches, doesn't matter where, Green Bay, anywhere, you know, it's in your blood and you miss it. Again, it's not about me, but when I walked away from the NFL after 9.5 years, I'm like, I'm good. You know, I'm going to do different things. I had my time there, been there, done that. But I think for coaches and like Mike, it's very different. So I just felt like he was showing himself, his vulnerabilities, humanity, and his love for coaching.
To follow up on that, you know, he talked a lot about trying to get more innovative, studying the offenses, particularly one of them was Dak Prescott and this Cowboys offense. It's all lip service right now until we actually see its application. But from what you came to know of Mike, is he the type of guy that's capable of adapting, that there is a pliability about him?
No, I think so. And maybe the answer wouldn't have been as easy as saying that 4 years ago, settled in his ways over a decade in Green Bay. But being away from it, sure. You know, I'm sure he's, I saw the piece about just going to work every day and figuring out new offensive concepts. And when I interviewed Mike 14 years ago, I'm not a scout. I'm not a football, you know, I don't know X's and O's. But listening to him, wow. You know, that was impressive. And Sean Payton, like, wow. You know, working the boundary and perimeter and all these words I didn't know in terms of offensive football. So I think he'll be pliable. And he's inheriting Dak at kind of a time in his career there, you know, he inherited Aaron. And, you know, when I was with Mike and Aaron, Aaron was largely the backup. But Brett would go to Mississippi from January to July, basically. And it was Mike and Aaron. And those 3 years before Aaron was given the keys to the franchise, it was like, wow, you know, there's some real development going on there. Those are kind of special times where you have a new coach and a quarterback in waiting working together in these quiet moments in March and April and May.
Some people are starting to wonder, or one of the thoughts coming out of this season with Dallas being as disappointing as they were was that they may have lacked some discipline, or they maybe could have used more of a drill sergeant type. I know you said McCarthy's a no-nonsense guy. Do you think he's the type of guy to come in here and, I guess, crack the whip a little bit and restore some discipline for this team?
Yeah, I don't know if he's the crack the whip guy. I do know this. He's got a good emotional intelligence about him. He, as I said, this kind of gruff Pittsburgh guy, but really knew when to hold him, when to fold him. I mean, we'd have bad losses, and you'd come in and expect some expletive-laced screaming, and he didn't do that. You know, he really picked his spot. He had a good intelligence about there. But listen, there was no lack of discipline problems when I was around. Like, you know, it didn't have to be said. It was understood. And I've been around teams where we did have some discipline issues. So that was not a problem.
I want your thoughts on this. And perhaps it's not a fair question, given that you interviewed Mike McCarthy earlier in his career, as well as Sean Payton. Both of these guys, of course, ended up going to get Super Bowls with their respective teams. But you know, I think for some in Dallas, when Mike McCarthy's hire was announced, it felt like a consolation prize. In other words, this fan base has always wanted the best. And in their minds, it's been Sean Payton. It's been the Bill Belichick. Is Mike McCarthy a consolation prize, or are these guys more similar than we give Mike credit for?
You know, it's interesting. A couple things. First of all, he's obviously the only candidate with skins on the wall, you know, Super Bowl, multiple playoffs. You know, Green Bay is a special place. I was there 9 years. We missed the playoffs once. He was there 14 years. I think they missed the playoffs, I don't know, three times in 14 years. So everyone wants that. You know, if you can sign up for that, great. The other thing, and I've done some radio down there and I've said this, I talked to two teams about Mike McCarthy that either have hired or looking for a head coach. I did not talk to the Dallas Cowboys. So he, I mean, I don't know if the word is in demand, but he was a top candidate this year, maybe the top candidate, because the teams I talked to, they were A, impressed, and B, just like, what do we don't know? I mean, do you know anything about him we should be worried about? I mean, this guy is great. And I'm like, nothing I know to be worried about. So listen, I don't know if he had other offers. I don't know how many options, how these other teams progressed, but I will say that I talked to two teams that inquired about Mike that called me, and one, they were not Dallas.
So, Andrew, just last question here for you, because this is always going to be the question, I think, for a lot of people outside of Dallas and also inside of Dallas. But given what you know about Mike McCarthy, and I'm sure you have some general understanding of Jerry Jones, having been in the league the same time as him, is that a relationship you think that can last? Or is that a personality mesh there, you think, Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, it's diametrically opposite from Green Bay, of course, because we have no owner. We had, you know, millions of cheeseheads as their owners, and there was little to no interference. Having said that, the teams I talked to about Mike, he was up front with them, he was, not them to him, that, hey, I just want to coach. You know, I don't get involved in personnel, salary cap. You know, I want to coach. And if he's telling other teams that, I'm sure that jives well with what's the setup in Dallas. It makes sense. So, you know, all of that made sense to me. The other things that impressed the teams I talked to that had talked to Mike was, like, he didn't have a set group of coaches to come with him, because a lot of coaches, they sort of put together their guys, their buddies. If they get a job, they bring them with them. He wasn't set on that. And he said, you know, I got some guys out there that I've coached against that really were impressive, and maybe I can go after them, that he didn't even know. So that was impressive. And I'm sure he's doing that now.
Wants to coach, reflective, doesn't want to handle personnel. Now I think we're kind of getting a little bit of insight as to why the Cowboys made this decision so quickly.
Now it all makes sense. Well, Andrew Brandt does wonderful work. You can read his stuff over at the MMQB. You can check out his podcast, The Business of Football. There's nobody better on the business of the NFL than Andrew Brandt. And you can give him a follow on Twitter at Andrew Brandt. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to do it. Enjoyed it, guys. Take care.
So, yeah, as you could hear, quite the sound difference from the beginning of the show into the interviews and then back here now with all the wind out there. But I got to say that even with the windy conditions, it wouldn't have been possible without our friends at Rode, who gave us this mixer that allowed us to record inside and outside today. It was very travel friendly today. It came through in the clutch. So.
And Bobby is such a perfectionist. He wants this to sound the best that he possibly can. I don't know if you guys know this, but he is the one that mixes this down for us, puts all of this thing together. You're the reason why this thing makes it go. We certainly have a lot to talk about, like I said, in the weeks and months to come. So on the next podcast, let's deep dive into some of these new coordinators, the staff. If they haven't been announced, we'll talk about the rumored ones, what they're planning on bringing to the table, and then what's ahead. 26 free agents. Dak Prescott's contract, Amari Cooper's contract, Sean Lee and Jason Witten's future, and I will be rested up. I will be allowed to return back to my life that is not at the Star, because I am afraid that Jerry is going to start charging me rent because I've been here so much. Guys, thanks for listening to us. We appreciate you guys shouting out to us on social media, looking for us to drop this pod. So we hope you guys enjoy this one.
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Be good just to hold them down by your side. Yeah, great.